Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Happy Monday, wherever you are. My name is Sean Coleman, and I'm glad to be joined by co-host Mark King. Mark, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm good, man. I'm on the phone because we're on the way back from the lake today, so if you hear our kids talking in the background, that's why. But we're good. Just recording this on Sunday, so we had a good time today. Other than that, Grizzlies L, but it was fun out on the lake with the family. That's really all that matters for us.
Yeah, no, I can completely agree. Me and Mark both in the summers, or at least for me recently, you know, in recent years over the summers, ever since I married my wife, we do both enjoy the lake. I am a much better swimmer than Mark is. As a matter of fact, I know how to swim. Mark doesn't. So, but you know, that's a story for another time. You picked a good day to go to the lake, though. Looking at the Grizzlies game, not a lot of good stuff to talk about, but anywho, we are here. Mark, from what you've watched of the Grizzlies game, what were your initial thoughts, just quick and simple, from their performance today against the Raptors?
I mean, you know, it's the same story over and over again, right? I mean, Dylan Brooks shoots, I think, 26 shots today. I think might be the most shots he's taken in the bubble so far. You're not going to win games when Dylan Brooks takes that amount of shots. I've said it on the show before. It's just the truth. I mean, it's just you're not going to win any games when Dylan Brooks, who is your currently probably your fourth best, maybe your third or fourth best player on the team right now, is shooting 26 shots. John Morant needs to take the less amount of shots. And, you know, you can't have – Jonas Valanciunas can't take two shots. I mean, that's just not – it's just not going to – it's not going to give you any good results ever. And we even saw it in the win – over whoever the only team they beat, the last game they just played.
So
we saw the same game with Thunder. Dylan was playing really well in that first, second quarter, and then he started to just kind of play outside the offense. He started to just not really take the best, you know, smarter shots, and it really almost got away from the Grizzlies. So, you know, when Dylan does Dylan things, it has tended since probably January to not be good for them. And at this point, you know, like, I know Dylan's going to be Dylan. I know he's a chucker. Like, he's just going to shoot shots no matter what happens. Like, he's going to just – he thinks the next one's going to go in. That's just how his mentality is, which is great when you have guys that can get back on a hot streak and be good. But, like, Dylan just can't. He's not that good of a shooter. And so when you have someone like that who is a chucker, it's on coaching at this point to be like, hey, you got to, like, stop shooting the ball or take them off the court. And so, yeah, I mean, it's the same story we've seen in the past, you know, all the other L's in this bubble period have been the same story for the Grizzlies. Has been, you know, bad perimeter defense, Dylan Brooks taking really terrible shots and leading, you know, to a detriment of the team. Like at a certain point you have to dial it back in and realize like me going for 11 for 26 and 3 from 10 for 3 just hurts way more than it helps. I mean, no matter if you want to try to get back on the right side of things when you're struggling as a shooter, it hurts way more than it's going to help the team.
Yeah, you look at it. I mean, with Jaren Jackson Jr. out, Justice Winslow out, Tyus Jones out, those are significant big hits to the Grizzlies roster. And just in all honesty, their offensive ceiling. You know, but when you look at the game, you look at it, you see Dylan Brooks score 25 points, but it was such an empty 25 points. Yeah, 11 for 26. Him and Jaw wound up on 45 shots. They wound up going 40% on their shots. But before the third quarter, they were 10 for 33, less than 30%. So, yeah, fatigue on the Raptors side made it a little bit easier for them. But by that time, you know, the game was pretty much wrapped up. But I agree with you completely. The Grizzlies do not have the room for error that they once did with their current roster in place. 50 total turnovers in this game. The Grizzlies, they surrendered 17 steals. The Raptors stole the ball 17 times versus the Grizzlies. I think that's like the fifth time a Grizzlies team has ever had that many steals that they gave to the opponent. This turned into a very sloppy game, and the Grizzlies can't afford that. So they had 22 turnovers. You add Dylan's bad shot decisions, that's 30 possessions that the Grizzlies basically gave away to the Raptors. And the bad thing about it is that the Grizzlies can't afford to do that, because against these teams that they're going to keep playing, the other teams are going to have more talent. Pascal, Siakam is the one that took over in this game, and he was the reason why the Raptors won. The best player, typically the best talents on the court, will take over in sloppy games, and I don't see a game where the Grizzlies are going to have that in their favor anytime soon. Speaking of the shot decisions, you know, Taylor Jenkins doesn't really have a lot of options right now other than Dylan Brooks. He's going to have to be a source of scoring. But if you could take five or six of his shots and turn them into corner threes, for instance, which features the strengths of players like Anthony Tolliver and Grayson Allen, they were 8 for 17. The Grizzlies averaged 7 corner threes per game before the suspension. They took 17 today and made 8 of them. That's playing to the strength of your roster. Taylor Jenkins has got to get it into his players. Each shot counts more than it did in the past because of how limited we are. We've got to find the right shots on most offensive positions.
Well, I mean, the ultimate issue is that, considering when it pertains to Dylan, is that Taylor's offense is predicated on taking a bunch of threes. We saw it early in the year with Jay Crowder. People were complaining about Jay Crowder taking 7 or 8 threes a game, but like that's the offense. Like Taylor wants them to shoot that amount of threes. But the problem is Dylan just doesn't make a lot of threes. Like that's also the ultimate issue. Like Taylor's offensive scheme right now, the way it's designed, and it will continue to be ran like this, it doesn't support the personnel that he needs out there to really make it efficient. And so that's why you see Dylan Brooks still taking a ton of shots. And Dylan, again, when he takes them inside the offense, we saw that against the Thunder, when he's taking actual, like, good shots, he can make – he's a pretty good shooter. He just – there are so many times in the game – where he just doesn't do that. I mean, for whatever reason, one way or the other, he saw, you know, one instance in the Thunder game, took a terrible 3, 4 seconds in the shot clock, long rebound, it turns into a transition three for the Thunder. So not only did you take a terrible shot, it was such a bad shot, the rebound gave it to them while they were running, and they were able to get up a quality shot on the other end. Like, that's the problem with Dylan, is that it's not that he necessarily continues to shoot the ball when he's not making them, is that he takes them in such terrible spots. I mean, it's just, they're just not smart shots. I mean, like, you can continue to shoot the ball if you you're struggling, but you continue to take them in bad positions, putting your team in worse position. That's the problem with Dylan. That is what is the ultimate issue. But again, Taylor's offense is predicated on those guys like Dylan taking a lot of threes. The problem I have is that he played like 35 minutes today. Ja plays 31, and Kyle Anderson only plays 12. Like, I think at this point, you have to look at Taylor and go, hey, look, you got to rein him in. Like, and that's just taking him off the court. Put him in 20 minutes. You know, Grayson Allen has been shooting ball really, really well from three this entire game. And you know, maybe we talked about this on the show maybe last week. Maybe it is a time to start Grayson and sit Dylan. Like, maybe that'll let him know, like, hey, we understand what you're doing, and it's not good for the team. I don't know. I don't think Taylor's going to do that. But, like, Grayson's actually been playing quite well. And Dylan, you know, Grayson had 34 minutes today, too. But, you know, there's just no reason for Dylan to play 35 minutes. There's no reason for it. I understand you're limited, but, you know, you could put those minutes into, you know, some more Jonas Valanciunas minutes, some more Brandon Clark minutes. Hell, you could give Kyle Anderson way more minutes than 12. So there's a lot of different ways you can go and limit Dylan Brooks, while also, you know, making sure that he takes the best shots on the court at the same time.
I do. I agree completely. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back and continue our discussion after the Grizzlies lost to the Raptors earlier today. It doesn't matter if you are a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when your life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com. promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of Superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And so, we're talking about Dylan Brooks. And the thing about it is this, in my opinion, yes, Brooks, there are times where it's gotten to the point now to where when Brooks has starts like this, he's got to be taken out. I mean, again, when the Grizzlies had played some of their best basketball to start games, I think it was when Dylan was taken out due to foul trouble. He did have a good game against the Thunder, and that certainly helped out the Grizzlies, progression as the game went on. But the thing also about Dylan is this, is that, you do have to take him out at times, but he also has to remain on the court to give the offense some type of balance. Because just being honest, yes, Grayson Allen can get, into the lane. We saw him do it a couple of times against the Raptors. But besides Ja Morant, Dylan is your most consistent guy who can get in the lane. And of course, like you stated, Mark, if Taylor Jenkins' offensive scheme is predicated on taking a lot of threes, with the Grizzlies' lack of shooting talent naturally, the way to open those threes up is make the defense sag into the lane to get a guy who's going into it. And Dylan is your best option besides Ja to do that. So I still think he's essential, to the Grizzlies' offense. It's just, it's kind of like they're going to have to ride or die with him right now, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Like the personnel is there's no real good option. That is, like you mentioned, that's the worst part about it, is that there's no real good option to replace Dylan. You can't just play him 0 minutes because there is nobody to replace him. There's nobody on the bench. You're starting Anthony Tolliver, who should not be starting on an NBA team in the postseason at all. But that's just where the Grizzlies are at right now, just because of injuries. And, the unfortunate reality is that their three injuries are to three quality, to their second best player, and to Tyus, a big piece of the rotation. And what they thought would be the same with Justice Winslow, a big piece of the rotation. So, you're having to put in guys like Tolliver and Jang that just aren't really their first choices, if you will. So there is no real good option to make, to make it more, worse and more negative than we've already been, is that there's no light at the end of the tunnel right now for the Grizzlies. They're gonna have to just keep playing Dylan and hope for the best. I would at least hope that Taylor has taken him to the side and said, hey, look, this is how we need you to play. We want you to play within the offense. And just show them clips. There is a screenshot from our friend Keith Parrish at Fast Break Breakfast that he tweeted out that is like Dylan taking a shot with like three guys around him for three while Grayson Allen is wide open in the corner. And Grayson shoots like 53% from the corner three. Like that's the play you gotta choose to pass instead of shoot. And those are the things that you gotta get him to see. Because again, it's not that Dylan is necessarily bad in the slot, just that he's just not smart about it. And that's the problem. And if you can get him to understand when to take the threes, when to pass it, when to drive, like understand his role better and understand the offense better, that's the problem. It's just his basketball IQ is just not very high. But you're right. At the end of the day, like there's nothing they're going to do about it right now. There's nothing. Nobody's going to be able to help them. So they're just hope for the best.
Well, the other thing about it today that, the storyline besides Dylan also was because, of course, Jonas Valanciunas. Now, only two shots, I agree completely. You can't have that. I think it was Joe Mullinax who tweeted out about, Valanciunas is basically the Grizzlies' safety blanket. That is correct. We talked about it last week in that, it seems like Valanciunas is a good mismatch option for the Grizzlies at times, and they'll use him in short spurts, but then won't go back to him. Now, today, even though they are, getting into the twilight years of their career, Jonas didn't have a favorable matchup. He was facing Marc Gasol, and he was facing Serge Ibaka, at times. But when Jonas only takes two shots and offers 0 points, I'm actually kind of impressed that the Grizzlies were able to stay in the game for as long as they were. But I do think also that Toronto, it's basically because, the Grizzlies are going to be facing three of the top four defensive teams, you know, today, and then the Celtics and the Spurs. The Grizzlies are going to have to figure some way to get different looks to Jonas before they get into that play-in game, in which whoever they play, okay, they now know to where if they can take Jonas out of the equation, it may be harder for whoever the Grizzlies play in the play-in game, but the Grizzlies are going to have to figure out some way to not let Jonas become a non-factor offensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to do something. He can't take two shots. I mean, I understand, you know, Mark and Serge Ibaka are just, they're high-quality players in the NBA. Mark especially is a smart player in terms of defensively and to where to, you know, push people off their spot. But you got to do something better than that. I mean, people scream about Jonas Valanciunas being good and being awesome and all those other things, and it, you got to find a way to be good in those situations. You can't let other players push you around and push you off the block to where you don't get good position. Like, taking two shots is just not, especially in 27 minutes, just not, it's not there. Like, you just can't do that and not be your starting center in the, in, you know, on your team. Your second best player right now is just not going to work. Like, you're going to win zero games anymore. Like, if you're going to continue to do that, that's just not something you can do. Have Jonas Valanciunas. You have to either figure, you know, either run a play for him, you know, run a side screen or a down screen to get him freed up on a, or on a different player where he can have a better matchup. Or he's going to have to figure out how to get better position so that Ja can see him better and get him the ball quicker. Like, a lot of that stuff is on Jonas. Especially, you know, they're not going to run a whole lot of plays for him. So a lot of that stuff and just taking shots and being open, that's on Jonas.
Agreed. And if the Grizzlies are going to wind up being, you know, if they're going to be forced to play more half-court offense, which these good defensive teams are going to focus on doing because the Grizzlies are very effective on the run, they're going to have to play more half-court offense. They're going to have to find ways. You know, they may not run a lot of plays for Jonas, but, you know, it just sometimes if a play breaks down, getting the ball to Jonas and the potential mismatch he can offer, that's, you know, as we said, that's kind of a safety blanket that works at times. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we'll discuss both Taylor Jenkins and the improving bench for the Grizzlies in the bubble. The summer is here. The heat is up, and you and your family probably are anxious to get out and enjoy the weather while you can. So it's the most inopportune time possible for your car to have issues. But of course, we all know that's exactly what is likely to happen. And if you're someone like me who doesn't have a lot of car knowledge, you're going to need to know where you can go get car parts to get everything repaired quick and easy. The place for you to go is rockauto.com for a variety of reasons. For one, it's very simple to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you should have what you need and have it on the way to you. It also is likely going to have what you need, is no matter the part or the make and model of the car that you have, rockauto.com should be a source that you can rely on. Your experience also is not a big deal. If you're someone like me who has to get others to do the repairs, you do the repairs yourself, or you do car repairs for a living, rockauto.com is a great source to have for your inventory. And the reason why is because it's very affordable. It's very cost efficient. It's a family-owned business. These folks know that car repairs typically are outside of the budget, so they try to keep everything within budget as much as possible. If you go to rockauto.com, let them know that us here at the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So, Mark, we've talked about the game, talked about the starters, you know, Dylan, Jonas, you know, both, you know, had forgettable games. Ja looked decent at times, especially again, you know, with his energy at the end of the game, it certainly made a difference. But the bench is a unit that has continued to improve. I know that when we talk about, you know, Clark started against the Jazz and then Tolliver has started the past two games. Well, now that bench still is able to feature Melt and Gorgie Dang, Grayson Allen, and Brandon Clark. But that bench is becoming, you know, again, an asset. De'Anthony Melton had his best game in the bubble today, six steals, you know, and just good offensive decisions. Grayson Allen arguably has, you know, been the most effective Grizzlies player in the bubble. Without Tyus Jones, it was a disaster for the first few games. But I do think, Mark, your thoughts on the fact that I really do think we're seeing significant strides in this bench figuring it out to once again be an asset for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, De'Anthony Melton has had two great games. Today was an amazing game for De'Anthony. And, you know, the fact that the bench has been better, and there's no it coincides with the fact that DeAnthony Melton is playing better. That's no surprise there, because it feels like it took him a few games to understand what he's trying to do, on the second unit. Or, that just comes also, sometimes you just have a bad couple of games, and that also happens too. They really miss, Tyus Jones, and I hope he's supposed to do a high-intensity conditioning drill. They did one today, so they'll do another one tomorrow. So I hope they'll have him back for the next game. That would be a huge help for this Grizzlies team, especially off the bench. But, DeAnthony Melton's got to continue to play like he has been in the past two games. Like, that will go a long, long way to help them at least get, one or two more wins. They don't need a lot. They really only need one more win to seal up the 8th seed, depending on how the Spurs and Pelicans games go today. But they don't need a whole lot of, they're going to make the play-in probably regardless. I think there's just too many teams losing behind them. But if they just win one, they'll at least, lock that up. So, DeAnthony Melton is playing quite well the past two games. Brandon Clark has been playing well the entire bubble. He's been playing well the entire year, so that's no surprise there. Gorgui Dieng playing well, that kind of surprised me. Grayson Allen coming and shooting 50, over 50%, maybe 55% in the bubble from three right now, also super surprising. But Grayson's got has played well in January before he got hurt, has a good-looking shot. I think he can be a real player for this Grizzlies team. The emergence of those two guys really helped the bench be way better than they were in those first couple of games.
Yeah, and we'll get, the bench is, definitely getting into its groove. I also think, we've seen, Taylor Jenkins, a rookie head coach, just a situation that, nobody could have prepared him for. But, was really interested to see what difference he would make in the bubble. And there have been some positives and some negatives. The Dylan situation, obviously, the fact that, we saw it in the first of the bubble, he got better, and then he had the game today. It's frustrating. Obviously, it seems as if Taylor Jenkins can rein that in. There have been some questionable decisions, but there's also been some lineup adjustments that certainly have worked. Your overall thought process of Taylor Jenkins, seeing how he's handled a depleted roster against a very talented, stretch of opposition.
Yeah, I think Taylor's done a great job all year long. I don't really know, we talked about this just earlier in the segment. I don't really know what we expect Taylor to do. I mean, you're playing Anthony Tolliver and Gorgui Dieng extended minutes in a season that you're trying to clinch a playoff spot in. Like, I don't really know what you want Taylor to do here. Their personality has is best. His second best player is not here. What would have been, we thought, maybe, your fourth or third or fourth option is Justin Winslow is not here. Your best reserve isn't here. Your best, one of the best point guards they've been all year long isn't here. So I don't know what we really expected Taylor to accomplish, it just looks like a bunch of bad teams fighting for the last spot in the playoffs, fighting for the right to get swept by the Lakers. That's what this is. Like, the Grizzlies are a bad team. Like, they're fighting for the eighth spot in the playoffs. Like, and so are the Suns, and so are the Trailblazers, and so are the Spurs. They're all bad teams. It highlighted the fact that we're all fighting for one spot, and that's kind of what makes it fun. But at the end of the day, we're all fighting for a spot to get swept by the Lakers. So, I don't know really what people are complaining about Taylor Jenkins, and I haven't seen a lot of it. The only thing I would hope I would hope he would take Dylan aside and explain things to him about what he's doing. But other than that, I really don't know what you expect Taylor to do. It's not like he can just make another player appear out of nowhere that's better than Ja Morant and put him on the court. Taylor's been good all year long. He's shown that he's willing to play different guys, different spots. We saw it in the bubble when he first got them, those preseason games. He's willing to play Josh Jackson. He's willing to play Grayson Allen and give those two guys, whoever wins that battle, that's who gets the minute. He's done that time and time again this year. He's a pretty conservative coach in terms of, his rotation sometimes, and that's kind of what people scratch your head at in terms of starting or, sitting some guys and playing off the bench. So I think some people get kind of frustrated by that. But he's been a good coach. I mean, he should have been in conversation for head coach of the year, and he wasn't. It's understandable the people who got the finals and ahead of him, but, Taylor Jenkins is a legit in the conversation for coach of the year for what he's done with his team. So I don't know really what else he could have done in the bubble.
No, and I agree. And the other thing to remember is it feels like with how much basketball the Grizzlies have played in, you know, basically 9 days, they played six games now in 9 days. It feels like they've played a lot more. But at the end of the day, you got to remember the Grizzlies are playing have played six games, but after a 4 month layoff, they've got some players back from injury that have not played with other players for a while. A lot of their best players are out of their, you know, are not in the equation due to injury. And so it's going to take three or four games in which the Grizzlies in a situation where they just are at, they do not have the best talent. They're one of the least talented teams in the bubble. And so it's going to take a few games. And unfortunately, the games that they had the best chance to win were at the beginning. They just took a while to adjust naturally because it's expected. And I agree with you. I think Taylor Jenkins, I think the Dylan situation could have been handled better. I think that, you know, he could feature Jonas a bit more at times when there's a clear mismatch. But the way that things have occurred, like for instance, he tried starting Brandon Clark. It didn't work. He started Tolliver. Yeah, that's not great. But Tolliver's done decently in his position. And you also see it in the strategy. Like I mentioned, you know, seven corner threes during the season before the suspension, today 17. He's trying to find ways to put his players in the best chance for success. So it does take a few games, but Taylor Jenkins has made adjustments. And even though it's not making, you know, that big of a difference right now on the scoreboard, you know, you can see the little small things that Jenkins is doing that I think are making the Grizzlies competitive. At the end of the day, the Grizzlies did come back today, and that was awesome to see. Mark, any more thoughts? You know, tomorrow we're going to, look at the Boston Celtics game. But just any more thoughts as far as with the Celtics and Bucks coming up that you're looking to see the Grizzlies do before their likely play-in situation comes up?
Yeah, I mean, if you want a silver lining in terms of the next two games, the playoff, those two teams, the Celtics and the Bucks, they are locked in at their seed, their current place. So, you know, the silver lining is hopefully maybe they sit some guys and you can maybe steal one because they're not going to, you know, they're not going to move up or down in seeding. They're already locked into where they're at. So there's really no benefit for them to go out and try to win any more games or really play any other guys for risk of injury. So that's the only silver lining I would leave with is because, you know, hopefully you're maybe steal one of those games or you need one. But yeah, if there's anybody out there complaining about Dylan Brooks or complaining out, there's a lot of people complaining about Dylan Brooks. If anybody out there complaining about Taylor Jenkins, that's just, you know, it's kind of silly and dumb. I mean, find something else to complain about. Complain about Dylan Brooks. That's legitimate because that's something we all complain about.
Agreed. And you know, it, like I say, the thing about this situation that some of us, you know, many of us, I'm sure we're looking at was it's going to reveal, you know, where the Grizzlies truly are as a team. And yeah, they're a very flawed team, very young team. They are a team that overall looks like a lottery team or many expected them to be. But the Grizzlies are kind of, yeah, it's only six games, but you also kind of get an idea of what roles and, you know, what value players have against teams that you're wanting to start performing good against as you get closer to contention. So, you know, that is another positive to look at. So we'll have plenty to discuss this week. Mark, do you have anything else to add as we wrap up the show?
No, we'll make sure everybody go subscribe to the show. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yep, and we'll be glad to talk with y'all tomorrow. As always on Twitter, make sure to follow me at StatsSAC, Mark at King_Producer. Woo! And follow the show at Locked On Grizz. Subscribe, review, give us thoughts. Our mailboxes are always open. But for Mark King, my name is Sean Coleman. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening to us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The summer is here. The heat is up, and you and your family probably are anxious to get out and enjoy the weather while you can. So it's the most inopportune time possible for your car to have issues. But of course, we all know that's exactly what is likely to happen. And if you're someone like me who doesn't have a lot of car knowledge, you're going to need to know where you can go get car parts to get everything repaired quick and easy. The place for you to go is rockauto.com for a variety of reasons. For one, it's very simple to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you should have what you need and have it on the way to you. It also is likely going to have what you need, as no matter the part or the make and model of the car that you have, rockauto.com should be a source that you can rely on. Your experience also is not a big deal. If you're someone like me who has to get others to do the repairs, you do the repairs yourself, or you do car repairs for a living, RockAuto.com is a great source to have for your inventory. And the reason why is because it's very affordable. It's very cost efficient. It's a family-owned business. These folks know that car repairs typically are outside of the budget, so they try to keep everything within budget as much as possible. If you go to RockAuto.com, let them know that us here at the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today.